Brisbane Wakes Up with Stav, Abby and Matt on B105.
Hello, you've downloaded today's podcast. Well done.
Hello.
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 What's that from?
Can't remember.
English TV show?
No, I remember Seinfeld did it from a hello.
Oh, that's Mrs. Doubtfire when you say it like
well,
that.
Well, that's what a hello, dear.
Hello, darlings.
Apparently, he did so much, it might be Aladdin, he did so much ad-libbing on that movie that there is an R-rated cut somewhere.
Aladdin.
Yeah?
Sounds right.
Mind you, Mrs. Doubtfire, in retrospect, is quite creepy.
Yeah, I know, but it was a lovely story then.
Yeah.
Well, it was his kids, so it makes
I know,
it
but
less
he was
creepy.
He wasn't allowed to see his kids, was he?
No.
Yeah, but he hadn't done anything bad, had he?
I don't know. Why hadn't he?
I think impersonating it. I think he was...
Him and his wife split.
Sally Fields.
But, I mean, why wouldn't he have been able to have contact with the kids?
For the premise of the movie to work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think he'd done anything quite sinister. It was just like, you can't see your kids until we work it all out. Because he was a bit, like, unreliable, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That was his whole
thing. Though a devoted father to his three children... His wife, Miranda, considers him unreliable. One day, Daniel quits his job after a disagreement. This infuriates Miranda to the point she files for divorce.
Yeah,
and at the custody hearing, the court grants sole custody of the children to Miranda. And it's the shared custody is contingent on whether Daniel finds a steady job and a place to live. So there you go.
So that's why. So he had to get employment and somewhere to live in order for him to see
so
his kids.
So he did. He got a job.
And lived at their house.
Genius, really.
Well, lived in his house.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. There you go. Alrighty, hey, on today's show, we've got a round of Do You Mind If I Ask with Carney Liddell. She's a Paralympian. You find out the most serial killing
star
sign.
Yeah.
There's a star sign story each week, really, isn't there?
And we give you some tips on how to save some fuel. That was pretty good, that one.
No stone unturned. Let's go. Here's the podcast.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
This is a true story. It happened to a friend of a friend of mine.
Kind of a friend of a friend of mine. It was a taxi driver. Right?
And you just make friends everywhere.
Yeah, but like we were talking.
Yeah.
And he said something and I was like, ooh, is there any truth to that? So this is how it works. I will tell a little bit of a gold nugget. And if anyone can tell me anything about it, then we know that it's not just a rumour, right?
Right, right, right.
We kind of all heard the same thing from a friend of a friend.
That's true.
So 131060, do you know anything about there being lots of gold here in Brisbane?
So hang on, let me just check, because I thought if people all ring up and they tell the same story, then it's made
isn't
up.
True,
No. We say, all right, okay.
And then I thought as if no one calls, we go, well, this must be a true story.
I just want to know about this story, okay?
Right.
Do you know anything about gold under the Walter Taylor Bridge at Indro?
No.
You never heard about gold?
I have not heard about
Apparently, when they were drilling like the big holes for it, the guy that was making the bridge, and he had sort of the engineer for it or whatever.
Walter.
He was funding it. So when they were doing the big pillars, they found gold. So he went and got a mining license. And then they say that the council got wind of it and were like, oh, this is our property. And now no one's allowed to go there. And then they heritage listed it. So once something's heritage listed, you can't go searching for gold. But 131060, if you've heard that as well.
So are they saying, so he obviously continued to make the foundations of the bridge because the bridge is in place. So did he then cover up the gold with the bridge foundation, do we know? Or
don't know, maybe that's how we pay for the bridge.
I would suggest,
Would have shopped up that a storm at Indro.
Yeah.
Well, they're saying that you can't, like a lot of people have gone down and he's in, tax driver's telling me that you can't pan for gold because a friend of his tried it and it doesn't work. Apparently, you can only do it if we dig underneath it and we're going to have to remove the foundations of the bridge to be able to do it.
Interesting.
But Brisbane could be rich.
Interesting too, all around there, they've just put like a whole new bridge, a whole new like river walk.
Yeah.
Down along there. So all those workers who were working on that over the last 12 months,
are they?
They could have pockets full of gold.
Apparently, it's deep down.
Yeah, well, no, this is they would have had to have put a huge deep foundation in for this thing.
There was a silver mine in Indro.
Was it?
Back in the day.
Right.
Where?
in Indro.
In the shopping centre. It's
know.
Now a secret shush.
No, I think that was a registered. It was a silver mine.
Right.
Well, I guess there's minerals everywhere. Yeah. But so why didn't, so, but then if the council found the gold, or they.
No, they didn't find the gold. No, he found the gold.
He found the gold, but yeah. But you said the council got involved.
Well, now they own it, so you can't, like, they own the area, you can't go there and dig for it.
But wouldn't they take the gold out?
Maybe they already have, I don't know. They're saying that, and this is all the conspiracy theories, they're saying that anytime they find gold, they make it like a national park, so you can't mine in it. Because he can't frolic in those.
Yeah, right.
That surprised me because I thought. I thought it was going to be about the.
Fossick.
I thought it was going to be about the overweight dude that lived in the bridge.
Is that a true story that you always tell me?
Yeah, they'd cut him out. Yep.
So does someone live there now?
Don't think so. If they do, they're literally living above a gold mine.
No, they took him out. They had to crane him out. They had to shut down the bridge and crane him out.
Poor guy.
Well, 13 10 60. What do you know about gold at the bottom of the Walter Taylor Bridge there at Indooroopilly? Maybe that is why they've never updated it too, because it really could do with a couple of extra lanes on it.
It's not far off where we went magnet fishing either. We didn't find any gold.
Well, no, it's deep down.
Because you think if they started digging there to put an extra bridge on, which would change that whole area.
Well, I wonder when they made it heritage listed though, because that's when things start getting a bit like you can't do anything.
It was heritage listed in 1992.
If anyone knows if someone lives at the bridge now, 13 10 60, because apparently it's an apartment up there.
There's a ballroom in there too. A ballroom.
It's not that big.
Well, I think. You know, it's secret deceiving. Parties. I think it's a grower, not a shower. There's a ballroom in there.
I guess it's pretty big. But an amazing guy, Walter Taylor, built it many, many years ago. And apparently he found gold. So there was gold at the footings of the bridge. And he got a mining license to be able to get it. They're saying you have to dig deep. But we can't because it's heritage listed.
Yeah. And doing a little bit of digging, very interesting. So it appears that, yes, you're correct. He did take out the mining license. But that was just so no one else could mine it.
Oh, so he doesn't want it to be mined.
Because you couldn't build the bridge. And it was a perfect spot for the bridge. So he's like, I better get a mining license, claim this area as mine so I can keep the bridge going.
He didn't need the gold.
He's going to make a fortune out of this toll bridge.
Have you heard anything about this 13 10 60? Georgie in Chelmer, what do you know about it?
So I've lived in the area for probably 25, 30 years, both of my parents, and I live there now. So, yeah, word on the street for some elderly neighbours was the fact there used to be actually a beach underneath the Walter Taylor Bridge.
Yeah.
And before they started dredging in the 90s, I don't know if you guys remember the big dredges that would go up and down the river. Before they dredged, apparently the sand and the water was so clear, you could actually see flecks of silver and gold actually in the sand.
Right.
No. Well, like coins on the on the
flecks.
Seabed.
You're right about silver mine
little
too.
Little flecks of it. Like when you pan for gold, you could see little flecks. Little but apparently flecks. It was so clear, you could drop a penny off the bridge.
Yeah.
And see it hit the bottom.
Wow. Silly Falls are where you're going to Ballarat. We've got it here.
Yeah.
There you go. And there's no one living in the bridge anymore. They actually do tours through the bridge.
They do tours.
We'll have to go and do a tour.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No worries.
Do you reckon, Georgie, that new walk that they've done along the river there, you reckon that was all just a bit of a ruse to dig up some gold?
Oh, look, you never know with council, do you? So you never know. They had to dig pylons pretty deep. Yeah. So I'd say with all the jetty replacements after the flood, well, I'd say some of those jetty companies might be making a small fortune.
Or maybe they, you know how they freezed all the rates for a while? Maybe they're like, can you dig out some more gold so we can cover it?
Well, it's even so legit that, and this didn't occur to me and I didn't realise, but the El Dorado Cinema, which is right on the corner there, you frequent that one quite a lot.
Yeah, very cheap.
Named after the gold. El Dorado is the Spanish word for gold.
So it's that well known?
Apparently.
Teresa.
Teresa? Hey. Yeah, hey. What do you know about it?
Yes. I actually did the tour 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And, yeah, they were talking about how when they made the first, because there were actually two bridges, when they made the first bridge, when they did the core drill, that was when they found the gold.
Right.
And apparently the rumour is that it was then stored in the steeple of one of the churches nearby.
Uh-huh.
And it's apparently still there.
Oh.
But the church is now being purchased by just a normal person.
Oh, so someone's living in the church as a house.
And they don't but know in that the there's walls.
So the church is on down the road somewhere, but there's nobody living in the
bridge anymore.
It was surprisingly very spacious.
Really?
Does it have a ballroom?
I think the ballroom was on the Chalmer end. They only let you go through the Indooroopilly end.
Okay.
Someone's having private parties.
Because the ballroom is full
gold.
Of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Full. Chock-a-block to the roof. We're on to you.
They're telling us part the story. So we're like, oh, you've told us everything.
Jane in Jindalee, everyone calling from around the area, it seems. What do you know about the gold?
Well, it is actually, as Georgie was saying, it is actually true. My son was doing an assignment on the gold rush era, and my older brother, he said, oh, yeah, we used to go panning at the Walter Power Bridge, and they actually found, like, specks of gold, and there was a beach down there, and that was a recreational pastime, so that they would all, like, go swimming down there and have a bit of a pan.
Wow.
Yeah. And somebody used to live in the bridge. They were the caretaker.
Right.
So there was always a caretaker of the bridge there. But it is actually true.
Wow.
And if you go online, there is a photo of people panning down there.
Right.
So there's like a black and white photo. Yeah. But yeah, it used to be a pastime. It used to be
that
a thing.
Blows my mind that there used to be a beach that you'd go down and swim.
Oh, there was all sorts, and there was a lot of those tidal pool ones all the way down the Brisbane River,
Who was the person who approved the dredging? Because we really need to do something to them.
I believe it was Sir Joe Bjelke-Petersen, but that's going back a ways. I think they sold it.
Well, it had to do with the cement works up the Oxley Riverside. So they had to get the dredges, like the cement from the cement works at Darra. And they had to clear out the river to basically get ships up.
So they had to make it deeper to get the bigger ships in there.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why we can't get a ferry up all the way past. Well, the ferries stop at, like, Toowong. And we'd really like to get a ferry further up, but they're saying that it's just not possible.
And they don't want to dredge anymore, do they now?
No.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it did used to be clear until the dredging. Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah, it would be
just, you know, the golden days, get to swim in it.
Yeah.
Well, and you can see
absolutely.
At Rocks Riverside Park.
You can see the bull shark coming towards you.
Well, you see all the old conveyor belts that were all, they're all still set up there,
that's
all
right.
The big posts and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're all heritage listed too, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you can't still swim in it.
Okay, I'll go in after you.
I've been in.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105. Give me fuel.
Yeah, talking about fuel prices and how they've gone through the roof along with everything else. And we were just talking about what we could do to save the fuel. You know when we always have those rumours about, like, make sure you turn everything off.
Roll up your windows.
Does the aircon turn off the aircon?
But then you're saying about the drag if you have the windows down. Yeah, make sure your tyres are pumped up. Do all those things actually work?
Ryan is on. Ryan is a mechanic from mechanic.com.au. How can we save money on fuel, mate?
Well, guys, rolling up the windows and the aircon's probably not going to be a big one, but I've got a few tips for you there. So one's a bit of it seems like a bit of an obvious one, but it's something that a lot of us don't do, and that's planning our trips. You know, we tend to get up in the morning, take the kids to school, come home, go back out, pick something up. You know, we go backwards and forwards, but just being strategic about how we plan our driving, that's 100% saving on the fuel that we're not using by going backwards and forwards. So that's really going to be one of the biggest ones that's going to save motorists lots of fuel.
That's a clever one. So yeah, instead of like, I'll drop the kids at school, come back, have a coffee, then go to the shops, grab the stuff that I need, do it all in one. That makes complete sense and you don't think that way, do you?
100%. That's going to be a big saving for motorists. So number two, if you sit around, particularly in the city, and see the traffic lights turn green, a lot of us just jump on the accelerator, and then when we hit the next traffic light, we jump straight on the brakes. And just by being a bit more sedate on taking off and reading the road ahead and slowing down, that's going to have a significant impact on fuel too. Number three there, you did nail it before, so tyre pressures is a big one.
Right.
So a lot of us don't actually check our tyre pressures as often as we should. And if our tyres are deflated or not pumped up as much as they should be or evenly pumped up, that can actually have a significant impact on fuel as well.
Right.
Carrying loads in the boot. So a lot of us have got a bunch of crap in our boots, yeah. in yep. our the back of our car that we don't need in there, and that's using fuel. You know, the lighter the car is, the further that fuel's going to go. Yeah.
And, got it. And get rid of that spare tyre. Check.
No. But remember I had the weights here at work and I had them in the back of the car, and Scotty's like, why would you put all that in the back of the car?
Yeah.
But when I was like,
100%. If you don't need it in there, get it out. And under that same one is maintenance. So if your car's overdue for a service, get it into your mechanic, because if you've got blocked up filters and things like that, that can actually be using more fuel as you're driving along too. So having a car that's well maintained will save you fuel too.
Do the different types of fuel do anything?
When you get the premium?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, it really depends on what the car calls for. So if motorists have a look in their logbook, in the glove box, or on the inside of the fuel flap, if your car requires premium, then putting premium in there is a must, and it will help you with fuel economy.
Right.
If it just requires your basic fuel, your 91 unleaded, it's honestly really a waste of money putting in premium fuel. So that's a bit of a misnomer for motorists.
Right.
One of the other questions that we get often is around ethanol blend fuel. So you've got your most common one is the E10, so it's usually the cheapest one at the service station. You'll definitely save per litre on it. E10 is obviously a blend of 10% ethanol and 90% petrol. Mm. So while we will save at the pump, unfortunately, it doesn't actually go as far. So we'll find ourselves filling up more often. So there's not really a significant saving there too. So although it might sound a bit boring, your driving habits are going to be the most impactful thing around saving fuel, 100%.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Whacking it neutral when you're coming down a hill, taking your foot off everything.
Oh, God.
Is that...
You're killing me. Don't do that.
Okay, right.
I'll chuck in a little bonus one for you guys. So a lot of motorists now that have modern vehicles have something called stop start in the car. So they pull up to the traffic lights and the car turns off. We're all probably familiar with that.
Yep.
A lot of people actually have that turned off in their cars. They turn it off because they find it annoying for some reason, but that's in there to save fuel. So if you're driving along right now and you've got a capital A with an arrow around it on your dash, hit that and turn it back on. That's an instant fuel saver.
Right.
There we go.
There you go.
You're good. Ryan. You're good.
Very good.
There he is, Ryan from mechanic.com.au.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Forgive me for being so inquisitive.
Do you mind?
Do
you mind if I ask you a personal question?
We do this so it's a safe space. You can ask whatever question you want so that you probably know how to treat people. Sometimes people get so nervous of how they should say things or what they should say that they just don't open a conversation.
Yes.
So this morning we are joined by Carney Liddell. Now, Carney was diagnosed at the age of 12 months with a neuromuscular wasting disease, and her parents were told, you know what, she probably wouldn't walk or crawl or maybe not even make it to teenage years. Yeah. And then she became a Paralympic star. Carney, morning.
Good morning.
You showed those doctors.
I did. I'm glad. I'm just out of my teenage years, of course.
Well, your mum actually showed them. What did she do to one of the specialists?
Yeah, the doctor diagnosed me and sent my parents to Montrose Home, a place to put me. Back in the day when I think I was four, my mum, from the moment of, I think I was eight, when I started swimming and I was in Rockhampton, so that was a big deal for a disabled kid to swim. So from the moment of, I think I was eight till I was retired, 25, my mum secretly sent all of my swimming and Paralympic press clippings to that doctor.
How good. How good.
So, and never told anybody.
Wow.
Montrose Home, you said...
Montrose Home, yes.
What is that?
It used to be a place, it still exists. Montrose Access is a great charity. I'm an ambassador for them.
Mm.
But back then we used to have a lot more homes and respite places for people with muscle wasting diseases or really severe disabilities, for kids and teenagers to go in the last stages of their life if the parents weren't able to care for them. Right, so mum and dad were sent down to Brisbane to see what my disease looked like, because my mother kept pestering the doctor about... Yeah. You know, questions about rehab and swimming and school and life. And we just think he thought, I think, you know, mum thought, well, I'm going to show this doctor
that
not only did I walk, but I, you know, I represent Australia and broke a couple of world records and did pretty okay with my life.
See, I always get tingles hearing you say that, because that really did change the course of that specialist and a lot of specialists giving advice to parents, because then they started to put in there saying exercise can help.
Yeah, they did. And actually, my mum's actually a medical journal. So what she did from Rockhampton, with no degree, you know, in her lounge room secretly. Not, and don't forget, she didn't even know that I live, let alone represent Australia. I mean, at the age of eight, she wasn't thinking, oh, Carney's going to be, you know, the captain of the swimming team and do all these amazing things and make her a nana. I don't know why she did it, but she did it. And, yeah, she taught me a great lesson that the smallest of acts can create the largest of impact.
I think
she changed a lot of people's lives.
She did. I think the other thing that's very interesting about you, Carney, and people might need to know this for the questions they want to ask, because it did trip me up. We were at the Red Kite Ball and you were going to do a speech, and I wasn't aware that you were you could walk short distances. And when you stood up, like, she's getting on! And you must get that, though, just in normal life, where people see you stand up and they're like, what's going on there, you know?
Yeah, yeah, really. And funnily enough, I reckon in my circle of friends who use chairs, half of us can walk short distances.
Right.
So it isn't uncommon. I mean, obviously, if you saw me walk, I wouldn't be able to walk around everywhere like that, for obvious reasons. And wheelchairs are cool. They're fast, they're easy. And walking for me is not easy or fast.
Yeah.
And it would be practically impossible. So yeah, it does shock people. And I've actually been shocked myself by someone in a wheelchair that I thought was a wheelchair, you know, paraplegic.
Yeah.
But then I understood the public. I was like, oh my God, I'm now a public, you know, a person from the public going, I really want to ask you a question. I'm not going to. I refrained.
Well, I just learned the term like walking paraplegic. I never knew that was an actual term as well. And you realize that everyone's disability is so unique as well that you need to be able to, I guess, have a conversation with the person rather than presuming.
Yeah, they call it incomplete paraplegia or incomplete quadriplegia.
Right.
So that means pretty much that you haven't actually, you know, severed your spinal cord all the way through.
Mm.
So like Alex McKinnon, you know, the wheelchair rugby league player.
He's an
incomplete quadriplegic.
Right.
That's why he can still walk a little bit. Okay. Yeah.
Also important to note too, you're a mum of a five-year-old.
I am a mama. It's very quiet here, which is actually making me very nervous. But yeah, he's out there.
I hate that.
Two dogs. So yeah, who knows what's happening out there?
What do you have the challenges of? Because I know that speaking to you many, many years ago, you didn't know if you would be able to have children. And he's just so gorgeous. What are the difficulties that you have, I guess, for being in a wheelchair and being a parent to a boy that does not stop?
Well, see, it's funny because when you think about that, I think probably the hardest part for me has been the fact that Kai can't access the things that I can't access.
Right.
So it's not about keeping up because my wheelchair goes 6Ks an hour. So
he's got to keep up with you. Yeah.
Yeah. And he actually found out that my wheelchair's got an app and found a remote
on my
phone, which he can now bring me to him.
You can imagine
what kind of guy I'm raising.
Yeah.
The biggest challenge is my son hearing people say things to me, like praying for me. Like all schools are inaccessible. I couldn't find an accessible school. So when I go to his primary school, I can't access everything.
Right.
And if I get kicked off a flight, he gets kicked off a flight. Yeah. So I'm in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. And I just don't want, it's not fair for him to have to live the life of a person with a disability when he doesn't have one. So I think it's actually really challenging for me. It's much harder for me now than it was pre-motherhood because it was just me before.
Yeah.
I was getting, you know, discriminated against and kicked off things. But now he's receiving the same treatment. So
Sure.
Challenging.
Carrie-Anne in Greenbank, what's your question?
Hi, Carney. Do you mind if I ask you, being a mother myself, I know how difficult it was for me to go through labour and through birth itself. How was it for you? Did you go through some of the same trials and tribulations that, you know, that myself did? Like, did you have a normal birth? Like, what was it like for you?
Yeah, I fell pregnant unexpectedly at 37, 38, you know, a couple of gin and tonics and a, you know what.
Because you were going to go through IVF, remember?
Yeah, I was going to go through IVF because I wasn't genetically diagnosed back then. So I'm still not really, even though I know when you roll the dice, when you have a baby, your child can have any disability, and I wasn't worried about that. I was just wanting to know if my child was going to have my disability. But, yeah, it was high-risk pregnancy. Kerry, I was with the director of the high-risk units. That's how risky it was for me. And it was risky both for me and my baby because obviously we didn't know whether Kai was going to have my disease.
Yeah.
I was in extraordinary pain because I've got severe lordosis. So I thought it felt like my back was going to break every day. It was excruciating pain, but I couldn't really whinge because obviously I'd done it to myself and I really wanted a baby and everybody around me didn't want me to have a baby because I was so scared about what would happen to me. Nobody had seen anyone like me do it before. So I had to be ridiculously quiet because my parents were so worried and my family and friends. And, at 37 weeks, I made it to 37 weeks to the day. I fought with the doctor from 30 weeks. He wanted to take me at 30 weeks, but I fought with him until 37 weeks because there was nothing actually, you know, medically wrong with my baby or me. I didn't have a heart condition, but I wasn't in danger, so I was just in pain. Yeah. So I made it to 37 weeks, and it took 45 minutes to cut him out because of my severe lordosis and scoliosis, and it was stuck under my curvature of the spine. So we had to use forceps to get it out, and he still says it's the worst Caesar he's ever had to perform in his life. Yeah, so it wasn't great.
Did you say it wasn't a walk in the park for me either, champ?
Yeah, it was great. I had no idea. I was wondering why he's making so much noise. I was like, oh, this doctor's very loud.
Yeah. Caitlin from Norman Park, you are on the air with Paralympian Carney Liddell.
Hey, how are you? Do you mind if I ask, when it comes to, like, your previous dating life, how do people sort of, like, react? And have you ever had someone sort of use it as sort of a fetish?
Oh. Yeah, there's actually a fetish called, I think it's wannabes and pretenders. So some people want to be disabled, so they hang out in wheelchairs and pretend to be disabled, and they have their fetishes in their wheelchairs. Right. And then there's wannabes want to be with me, sorry. Wannabes want to date someone like me, and pretenders are the pretenders. They pretend to be disabled. Some guy just recently, because I'm single.
I know. You let me know there that I hadn't been doing matchmaking. So when I, you know.
Yeah. Thanks, Abby.
Yeah.
It's a jungle out there. But yeah, just recently a guy said to me, hey, I see you're in a wheelchair. I'm pretty old. So I'm going to be in one too. We should date.
Romantic.
Oh. Yes, we should. Let's get married.
So it is hard. It's because you've got comments before, and it blows my mind that people have even said to you, oh my God, you're too pretty to be in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I don't get that much anymore now. I'd love to get that now, Abby. I've always, and also my friends that are obviously, good looking in inverted commas.
Hmm.
Yeah, for some reason, people think that people with disabilities look a certain way, we act a certain way, we're lacking ambition. But, you know, whatever we're missing, we're not missing anything else. Like, I'm missing muscles. I'm not missing ambition.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's interesting, the perceptions of disability. The hottest people I've ever met, no offense, guys, are in wheelchairs.
Well, that's hurtful and offensive, to be fair.
Do you know what I thought has been...
I'm sorry to label you.
This is not what the segment's about, Carney. I actually found it really amazing that for the first time ever, the National Disability Insurance Scheme is going to be... The chairman is going to be disabled man, Paralympian Kurt Fernley. And I was shocked that there hasn't been previously.
Yeah.
Mate, you would be surprised. We haven't had a disability minister with a disability. We don't have... We have boards of disabled charities with nobody with a disability, and we're the most unemployed group in this country. And Australia is one of the worst countries in the Western world for employment of people with a disability.
Mm.
So not only should Kurt be the of the NDIA, but we should have the CEO of the NDIA in a wheelchair. I mean, disability ministers should have a disability. Mm. We desperately need work. I mean, it's really, really tough out there. And the reason why people don't want to employ us, I think, is because they think that we're riskier than everyone else to employ, which is just not true.
No.
Well, Carney, we really appreciate your time this morning, and people can see you. You'll be at the Brisbane Disability Expo at the Royal International Convention Centre, October 14 and 15. Entry is absolutely free. Thank you for your time this morning.
No problems.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Amazon's Alexa. Alexa, set the mood.
131060, how did you find out your partner was cheating? Because a woman in America has put up on TikTok how she found out that her partner was having an affair. And it's quite an unusual way because everyone's got a speaker of some description in their house these days, a Google or an Alexa or one of those things. And you might ask it, do you use yours very often for like, apparently, I haven't cracked into it really, but you can say like, hey, Alexa, we're out of soup and it'll put it on your shopping list.
You can. I use a shopping list, but it's not the same as it is over in America because obviously Alexa is owned by Amazon and in there you just say, Alexa, fill my shopping list.
Right.
And Amazon will then deliver what's in the shopping list. My friend lives over in the States.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, and they do it in like a couple of hours. Mm. But because we don't have the same as that, yeah. I don't use the shopping. But I use it for music all the time. We got given it through work, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
The shopping one here, if you've got the app on your phone, you can add stuff to your shopping list and then when you go to the shops, you just look. It's like,
you just look at it.
It's like looking at your notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of deal.
That's cool. But she was scrolling through her speaker's voice history. Now, if you don't know this, it does actually record every question that it's been asked.
What else does it record then?
Pretty much everything. Let's just assume.
So if what are you asking it?
Well, Esther and I have most of our arguments in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Oh, but you haven't said Alexa join in, have you?
No, but there was a couple that was fighting.
No, she'd pick Esther's side. I don't want to help.
It is really scary when it just goes off.
Well,
you sort of forget. You're like, oh God, someone else is in the room.
Here.
Stop being a jerk.
Yeah. No, one of them did. There was a couple fighting and Alexa said, maybe we should calm this down and started playing some relaxing music.
Shut up, Alexa. Don't get involved.
I would have liked that.
But she was going through her her voice recordings of everything that had been asked.
To do that, you've got to have suspicions, right?
I think she was investigating whether or not, yes. And that's when she heard on the Alexa this.
Alexa, what do you do then? Alexa, play Power Trips, Miguel.
Alexa.
Alexa, volume down.
Now that is not her voice. That's her partner's voice, but that's not her voice. So she was like, why is some random woman playing Power Trip by Miguel, which apparently is a Let's Get Down and Nasty song. Oh, yeah. She'll be home in 10 minutes. And we are, we
are, we are. Okay.
So she confronted him. He denied it for a bit, blah, blah, blah. But then eventually he's like, yes, all right, I am having an affair. And she was over here and we did listen to Power Trip by Miguel, but we only cuddled.
Okay, so are you saying though, if she heard that chick on there and she said play the Macarena, you reckon you probably could have got away?
Yeah, he's learning how to dance for me.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, we weren't making love.
I guess.
We're just cuddling.
What are you saying? Depending on the song choice that she chose, you'd be able to get out of it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that have done it with Find My Friends.
Yes.
So you know how you can link it up with someone else's? Like Scotty and I have it linked so we know where each other is.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you forget that that's on or if you can do it secretly, you can see where they've been going.
And there was the one where the guy's Fitbit went off at like 3 a.m. at night.
Yeah, they synced their Fitbits.
They synced their Fitbits and she was like
wait a minute, why?
Out.
Yeah, I thought you were supposed to be on a work trip at 3 in the morning. Why is your heart rate pounding?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just playing Call of Duty.
So technology will get you. Technology will get you in the end. And I think people also were unaware that they did actually record. That Alexa does store all this information in it.
So. We did have one person who called up and I was like, oh, that's old school. And remember she said, what do you guys think about it? And we're like, you already know the answer. And she was saying that she looked at her partner's gym bag and there were condoms and they never used those. And the gym equipment, like the socks and shoes and all that had been worn. And we're like, you know the answer.
Maybe he whacks a dinger on the dumbbells before he goes, you know.
And never wears clothes, does it in the nude.
Oh, you busted me.
I haven't been to a gym in a long time.
Paul in Logan Reserve, you had your suspicions?
Yeah, I had my suspicions. I did.
Okay, so what'd you do?
So I actually went to work and put a voice recorder in the house.
Oh.
And left it in the room that I thought it was going on in, which was actually my cousin's room that I was letting live with me.
Right.
And then I got home from work the next morning and I listened to it and I busted him that way.
Wow.
Maybe she was just in there applauding a TV show.
It could have been that. Could have been that she was applauding a TV show, but when I brought them to them, they both turned around and said, yeah, that they'll do it.
Oh.
Wow.
That's awful.
It is.
How long recording was the tape?
It was a 24-hour recording, so I sort of had to skip through and try and listen for the sounds. Yeah. And then obviously there's quite distinct sounds.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm sorry that happened.
That's all right.
Yeah, better to find out, I guess, Paul. Uh-huh.
Yeah, look, I was trying to get rid of her anyway, so.
Sweet.
Okay, right, yeah. Okay.
always a happy ending. I mean, you could have just, yeah.
Two of them, technically. Sarah in Barimba, have you caught a partner cheating in a strange way?
I sure have. We were married at the time, and we'd actually just split up, and I went to see a clairvoyant just for some life direction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that he'd been having an affair for months with the one woman, and I confronted him. And I actually told him that one of his friends had told me, yeah. And he admitted it, he came clean, and that's the only way I would have known.
Wow.
So did you say to the clairvoyant, like, I've had this breakup, I have suspicions, or she just came out with it?
No, I just went with life direction, I didn't even mention him.
Right. Stay on the line, because Abby's going to want the number of the sidekick.
We all need a good clairvoyant.
She loves a good
I haven't found a good one recently. Pardon?
I didn't think they were meant to tell you bad news like
that. Yeah,
but
there's no clairvoyant. No, there's no code. They can tell you whatever they want.
Mm. I think it's death. They can't tell you you're going to die, I'm pretty sure.
Well, they can, but upon. I think they choose not to.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no rules. I mean, there's no rule you go to a university degree.
There's no Hippocratic oath.
No. No. I think it's frowned upon if you want more customers.
But if you were 100% certain, like you're going to die on the 27th of August, blah, 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 you'd be like, okay.
Mm.
Then you're immortal up until that point.
You want to get her number?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, no, stay there, Sarah.
I know you do. and that's how Abby got divorced. Mark in Underwood.
I was trying to get rid of him for a while.
Mark in Underwood. Cheating. How did you find out?
Morning.
Morning.
We used to go play cards over at a friend's place that lived about 3-4 streets away, and one night she got that drunk that she decided to crash there the night.
Uh-huh.
And I went home.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day she knew I had gymnastics, and I didn't go. End up going to gymnastics, and I went back to the house, and she walked out of her bedroom in her underwear.
So that was that a mate's house? Your mate?
Yeah.
Mm.
But didn't happen once, it happened three different brothers.
Three what?
Yeah, so finding out after because we were married at the time, we had two kids.
Uh-huh.
I never made any animosity about it, so I, moved on, and we became best friends that we could never live together, but we could certainly, because of the kids, always made the boys grow up that, life is amazing, and always look after mum.
Mm-hmm.
So she hooked up with three different brothers. Is that what you said? Yeah, right.
How do people find the time, Mark? That's what I always. I mean, that out of that story, time to play cards. Time to do it with three
years
brothers.
Later, I walked it down. Well, 6 years later, I walked it down the aisle, gave her away with the boys either side of me.
To one of the brothers or someone else?
No, someone else.
And have you found anyone, Mark?
Yeah. Okay. I got two little girls now.
Wow. All right, so you're happy.
Wow.
So you've moved on. It's just when you tell that story to us, we get a bit.
Yeah, it was a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Whew.
Wow.
Good stuff, Mark. Thanks for calling, buddy.
Is it?
No worries.
Worked out well for you.
Worked out well.
Stav, Abby, and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Hello, Brisbane. We're doing creepy star signs today. Who's the most likely serial killer? Well, we all know that. Geminis, Leos, and Aquarius. Yeah.
Haha. Adrian's worked with us for too long and knows our star signs.
Now, look, there's a lot of talk about serial killers at the moment with our Dharma blowing up on Netflix.
Has anyone seen it?
I haven't. I watched a bit of it. To be fair, I liked the original with Greg. I thought it really changed the tone. Changed the tone.
Everyone's saying that you have to watch it to say how awful it is. Has anyone watched it out there? Oh, you have, haven't you?
Yeah, I've watched it. Apparently, the first episode was supposed to be really hectic, but I didn't find that bad, so I don't know what that says about me.
It's a true story, though, like the true serial killer.
It is insane. I just thought it would be more graphic.
Who is he? What did he do?
Jeffrey Dahmer. He's one of the world's worst serial killers in the US. He killed many, many men in his time.
In the 70s.
Yeah, he would drug them. He ate some of them as well.
Yeah. He's the guy who was referenced in a Katy Perry song, and everyone was up in arms about that. It's a 10-year-old song, Dark Horse, but they were angry about it last week.
Oh, I didn't realize he was in The Lodge for a while. Like, it wasn't just in the 70s.
No, it was, yeah.
Yeah,
it was,
okay.
It was hard to get away. So, but everyone talking about serial killers, they have worked something out. If you are one of these four star signs, you may just well be a serial killer in the making, because they've compiled a list, and of that list, it did stick out.
So how did they get the list, though?
Of serial killers.
All the serial killers, and they work out what their star sign was.
Right, that's what they're saying. So everyone who's been a convicted serial killer, they've taken their star signs and then worked out
who they are.
Okay. And it wasn't like a poll.
No, I know, but I just thought it was probably good to give context now, for those.
Out of the entire list of the serial killers, there was only four signs that were actually in the list.
What?
So, yeah, there was only four signs included in the list. Now, the next craziest part of this is that there's one sign from each element.
Like one of water, one of air, one of...
Yeah. So...
Wow. Okay.
If you are any of these signs, you
tell me
share
that Leo's on the list, isn't
with
it?
With a psychopath.
Come on. Leo's on.
For fire signs, it's Sagittarius.
Oh, I knew it. Always Sagittarius.
For air signs, it's Gemini. For water signs, it's Pisces. And for earth signs, it's Virgo.
Oh, so I'm the only one on the list.
And also, while we're on the topic, Virgo is the most deadly. It had the most of them in that list.
Well, all serial killers are deadly.
No, as in there was more Virgos than any other three signs.
Oh, okay, got it, right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Didn't really come across a fun serial killer, do you?
Does that just mean, though, that all of those signs are bad at it because they got caught?
Ah.
And the signs that aren't on the list...
Such a Leo thing to say.
Isn't it?
Cunning.
Cunning like a lion.
But there's not many serial killers that they haven't caught, though, is it?
Who knows?
Well, I guess, but like you can see the list of murders. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, the Reaper. Jack the Ripper.
No, I would say, I think they say at any given time in America, there could be up to 23 active serial killers operating at the moment.
They just don't find the bodies?
Well, no, they don't find them. They find the bodies. They don't find who's killing them.
Yeah, or know that they're linked.
Yeah.
But now they just start going through
everyone's
birthdays. Put it in the... they should start using it. Gemini, you do not feel like killing anybody today. And be like, oh, well, okay.
Imagine if the coppers did that, though. Sit down, right? This is being recorded. Do you want a lawyer? No. What's your star sign? I'm a Leo. No, you're right, mate.
You're right.
Get out.
Up your pop.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Hey, on Saturday, I went to Sydney. QPAC said, do you want to go and see a musical? And I was like, hell yes, I do, because I've heard a lot about it. It's Six the Musical, and it's this.
Listen up, let me tell you a story. A story that you think you've heard before. We know you know our names and our fame and our faces. You know all about the glories and the disgraces.
So it's coming to QPAC in December, and it is brilliant. Like I say, go along as well. And you guys would like it because there's no, interval. Do you know when you like it when it's just, jam-packed?
Yeah, no halftime. What was the last play you saw?
Don't know.
14. You're watching them bang out of order.
Am I?
Yeah. Well, you saw 14, then you saw 6.
Oh, I did, yeah. That was part of the festival. No, so what this is it's Henry VIII's Six Wives. And you know when normally you go and see some sort of musical or anything, it's based on a true story, and you always try and see who the performers are. But on the taxi on the way back, I did myself a history lesson because I was like, it's fascinating.
They're all the ones he chopped the heads off.
Well, that's it. You guys have to work together, all right? And I'm going to test you guys to see how much you knew in history. I'm not going to let you work by yourself because he's got connections to England, as he keeps telling us, with his Scottish passport. Okay. But do you know much about them? So who was the first one?
Anne Boleyn?
No. Oh. No. So Catherine of Aragon was the first one, and she was promised to his brother. Right? So she was shipped over, I think it was from Spain.
Uh-huh.
And she had a lot of...
Amazon has been around for a long time, hasn't it?
Well, she had a lot of money. So dowry, how they do that. Yeah, so the family were like, wait a minute, let's not give up the dowry. Right? So when she got there, she went into jail because he had died. So she was in jail for 6 years. And then they're like, oh, wait a minute, there's a younger brother. Why doesn't she marry him?
Uh-huh.
So she was a little bit older than Henry VIII, but they wanted to keep the dowry, so win-win. And they were a very powerful family, so they stayed together. And he apparently liked her for many, many years. He always wanted to have a male because they were the ones that were going to be the heir. So there was no,
wanted a son.
And they had only had females together.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, I actually want to divorce you. And she's like, no, you don't, because I am married to the church, which is why he started
Church of England.
Church of England. No, he divorced her. So he did Church of England, and he was married to her for like 25 years.
Because before that, you weren't allowed to get divorced.
No.
So he said, I'm making a church where you can get divorced.
It's the beauty of churches. Just make one to do what you want.
Yeah, but it's a real turn of events for her, isn't it? I mean, you know, she's in jail. Didn't she? And number two was?
Anne Boleyn.
So Anne Boleyn.
You're eventually going to get that right.
The only one I know.
So apparently she was the most famous, and it was like a 7-year courtship, and it crossed over.
Right.
So it was a little bit of a crossover.
This is very House of Dragons.
Oh, it really is. Yeah. And all the characters that they are playing are based on a pop star.
Right.
So you look at one of them and, you know, it'll be based on like Rihanna or Beyonce, and one of them is Adele. So they're sort of modelled on that when they sing their type as well.
Interesting.
And after, because she was beheaded, so the next one was the love of his life, they always say.
Karen.
Mary?
Jane Seymour.
Oh, Jane Seymour.
Have you heard any of this?
No.
No, not at all.
No.
Did you do any history?
The only thing I know about him is that he was the bloke who beheaded his wives because they couldn't give him a son.
That's why I thought they were all beheaded, but they weren't. Some of them were just divorced and some of them just popped off and just go and live in a different castle.
Oh, I thought he cut all their heads
off. No. So the first one he divorced, which is why he broke up the church, which leads you to the second one of like, why did you behead her? But he did. He beheaded her. Jane Seymour died during childbirth, and she was the only one to give him a male. So then when he died, he took over, but then he passed away when he was like 11 years of age. So he was king, but only when he was young.
Wow.
So Jane Seymour apparently was the love of his life, and then he died. And then this is like, blow your mind, it's kind of like Tinder. The number fourth wife, he was like, I think he just wanted to get some sort of like wife from all over the country.
So like Pokemon, wanted to catch them all.
Yeah, like wife idol.
Yeah. And then he got people to draw.
A drawing competition.
And apparently when he met her, he's saying that she didn't look like the drawing.
Don't match your profile pic.
Yeah.
She won a colouring in competition and got to marry him.
That just sounds dodgy.
Oh, it does sound a little bit dodgy, doesn't it? So, I mean, that's just harsh, isn't it?
Yeah.
And did he behead her?
No, I think she just popped off and she just got divorced.
Okay.
So I don't know why he was beheading so many of them. There wasn't as many famous ones after that. And Catherine Parr was the last one. And she was divorced as well. She was divorced three times, and then she met him, and she was in love with someone else, but then she had to stay with him to the end.
Such a shame it was such a long time ago. This would have been the best reality TV show of all time.
It's like Married at First Sight, really.
Yeah.
Where
with
no one really dies,
I mean, that's better.
We really should give Meghan and Harry a bit of a break, shouldn't we? Because what they're doing in the royal family is
nothing.
They're
like, have you met my ancestor, Henry VIII?
That's the tip of the iceberg, to be fair.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
The war in Ukraine continues to rage over there with Russia invading their territories. They also claimed that they did a vote and four territories wanted to go back to Russia. That's been declared as a sham by the rest of the world, but they took them back. And
is Putin sick? Is that what the rumour has it?
There is a rumour.
Right.
Yeah, that he is sick.
I mean, he's sick in the head, but like I didn't know he's sick with cancer, they were saying.
Mm. Yeah, that's what they say. Mm. But like if he died, do you reckon it'd all stop?
No, there's a guy that I think is his second in charge, which is supposedly, like he's really ruthless.
It's worse.
Yeah.
Sometimes better the Putin, you know. But you've got to hand it to the Ukraine, right? And I don't think a lot of people knew much about the Ukraine before this war started. We certainly didn't know that their prime minister was an actor in a show about a comedian who becomes the prime minister and then he became the prime. I mean, that's just brilliant.
I know that they were voted
so good as a leader.
One of the most attractive nations in the world.
Well, that'll help. That will help with their next thing because God love them. There is a threat of nuclear war. Putin's been rattling his saber a bit in the last few weeks about it, saying he's not taking it off the table, which is always scary. No one wants that. It's long-term ramifications, obviously, and it's not good for the entire world when those sort of words get thrown about. So what do you think the Ukrainians have done to combat that? Because, you know, what do you do? If someone says there's a nuclear bomb coming, you run into a bomb shelter, right? That's what you do because it's safe and you're safe from the radiation and whatnot. That's not what the Ukrainians could do. They've decided, you know what? There's a nuclear war. We're not going to hide. You know, and then come out, and there's going to be mutants everywhere, and all the animals will be weird, and it'll be strange. I don't want that. So there's a hill outside of Kyiv, and they have started a subscription, and it's got over 15,000 people, and they're all going to go up to that hill and have an orgy.
So when the nuclear missile is coming, they're going to just go and have an orgy.
Yeah.
Do you know what's scary about that?
What?
Is it's kind of like when you have that exciting thing on Facebook and everyone says they're going and there's going to be one couple that are there waiting for the rest who said they're going to come and I don't think they will.
Oh, I don't know. They're pretty open about it. And
even if you're smart, you just tee up with the news station and say, oi, just announce it's coming and it's imminent. Next thing, orgy's on. You go, psych! Thanks, everyone.
It is coming. We know your trick, mate. The boy who cried orgy.
So maybe I don't know much about it, but I don't think it's very much an orgy country, is it? Like, isn't it a bit cold?
I think...
Like on the hill, I'm saying, like...
Yeah, maybe.
I guess, but in the threat of imminent death.
Still, I wouldn't.
Would you be like, oh, it's a bit chilly?
Wouldn't you be, it's a bit chilly, and telling everyone it's chilly?
I would be telling See what people, I mean? I'd still be there, but I'd be like, this is cold.
And we'll go,
this is very chilly.
How hurtful, though, if you turn to someone and say, all right, now, let's you and me, and they're about to die from a nuclear weapon, and they still go, oh, no.
No. Well, it is. They're taking it very seriously. There is actually, you go with symbols on your hand that mark out what you're up for as well. So different symbols mean you're up for different stuff at the event. And then they're saying, you know, it's they're trying to scare us. We're going to show them that we're not going to get scared. And they're trying to give us this something terrible and we're going to flip it and make it into something good. And that's
peace,
what
love,
the
or war, hey?
Yeah, make love, not war, with a lot of different people all at the same time. That's what that saying means, I believe.
Yeah.
So if he does decide to pull the trigger, the Ukrainians will...
How much warning do they get, though?
Oh, you get a fair bit. You get enough warm-up time.
You only need 2 minutes.
Well, to the hill. You got to get to the hill. You got to get undressed. Nah. You got to find the person you're interested to.
Guy, you're a party pooper.
I'm not. I'm just a bit more like, I'm taking the orgy a bit more seriously.
Right.
I hear what you're saying.
I don't want you guys to get there and go, oh, it's too cold. I can't, you know. I'll be like, no, I warned you about this.
I think we'll be fine with the cold. You'll be the one who's disappointed.
I like the fact that we're all going.
In support.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
I'm getting a lot of requests from people now saying, hey, are you playing matchmaking and could I be added to the list?
Right.
And I was like, no, just I'm one matchmaker at one time. And it started, I just did a post for Hayley, our producer, saying that she was single. And Nick, who we've worked with for many years.
Yeah.
And I haven't posted before because he hasn't been single the whole time that we've known him.
No,
right?
That's true. Yeah.
So he is our promotions manager. And I just would like him to admit that he got himself into this.
Yeah.
Nick, when we were out on Friday night, you made a joke about posting saying that you were single, right?
Yes, Abby, that is true. And I am starting to realise that I think you're making this as big as you can so that I never ask you again.
I didn't get excited. I think I've fallen in love with the girl that's the other matchmaker. She's really nice.
Oh, God, the matchmakers are going to hook up.
Tegan and I get along really well, and we were just talking about it. And it was kind of funny because we're both promoting our friend.
Yeah.
So I was giving some, like, cool facts about Nick.
So you posted him online.
Yes.
And then this girl follows you.
Well, I actually got a lot of messages. I even got messages from girls, Nick, saying that they've reached out to you and DM'd you in the past and you've never got back to them. But anyway, that's a different story.
He's not desperate. You're looking for the one, right, Nick?
Yeah. And, Abby, to be fair, in the past, I think I wasn't looking. To clarify, this is probably the one time that, you know, I'm getting on, I'm 31. It's like, all right, I need to kind of sort out what I'm doing.
Yeah. And I think she's really nice because I got this message from Tegan saying, my friend is single. I work with her. She's amazing. And I was like, well, let's swap photos. So it was kind of like 1, 2, 3, you show me yours, I'll show you mine.
Right.
And I was like, she is a gorgeous girl. And she's someone that I think that you would be into.
Okay. Right. Based on what? Because you probably know more about her than me at this stage. I feel like you guys are talking a lot more. So...
Based on what? Why would Nick like her? Based on what you know about him and also her.
I don't know if this is about...
Just be honest.
I thought she was similar to girls that you've dated.
She's your flavour, Nick.
Hello?
Yeah, there's not too many girls that I've dated, so I think I can read between the lines.
She looks like your ex, Nick.
That's a terrible way to form a...
Being honest.
Wow.
That was attractive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Of course.
Just swap it out.
I didn't...
Right, yeah, but there's not a big pool of people I've dated, so you don't have... You have a pretty specific idea of what I like.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, if that's true, I thought she looked like your ex, and I thought your ex was very attractive. And
Ford drivers don't buy Holdens, you know?
Yeah, once you
pick a brand, you stick with it.
Thanks. So there's nothing wrong with saying that. And I thought I liked her friend, and we got along well, and if she's friends with her, then I thought, I don't know, just don't stuff it up on Sunday, because I believe that's when you're going on a date.
Oh, you're going on a date, Nick?
Yes, we do have plans to catch up over the weekend.
Okay, wow. Monday's going to be interesting.
Is this annoying? Have you ever gone on a blind date before?
No, not like this. Not like...
Do you not know what she looks like? Has he not seen a photo?
I think we sort of organised the date. I did send a photo, and he said, yeah, she's very attractive.
Right.
And I sent a photo of Nick, and she said likewise. So I was like, well, that's perfect.
Right.
And I think they both stalked each other's Instagram by the sounds of it.
Yeah, okay.
Would that be correct?
Yes. Not at the stage that you were sharing photos, but by now I've had a look, yep.
I realise I'm going to have to, like, work out you guys to wear a certain outfit so you know who's who.
Oh, I think we'll work it out.
Okay.
Wear a red carnation.
Well, how about I will now leave the situation. I'm not going to be involved anymore.
Not true.
I'm going to. Okay, Nick, because I think that's just respectful. So whatever happens after this, it's up to you whether you like her, whether you don't like her, and likewise for her. I'm going to stay out of it.
I think that sounds good because already this feels like it has so much pressure on it.
Oh, no.
Our ratings depend on this, Nick.
No, you're just catching up for a drink.
All good. But, I'm just showing up on Sunday looking for someone that looks like my ex and having a drink.
Then we're going to do a pop-up Bris Vegas chapel and marry you guys. It's going to be great.
Good on you, buddy.
No, we love you, Nick.
And the best part of that is Nick's job will be to organise it for himself.
Yep. And now the date's tax deductible.
Brisbane wakes up with Staff, Abby and Matt on B105.